Turn with me, go ahead and get to Galatians, the third chapter. Are you seeing a theme through Galatians? Something about freedom and law. This is important. Paul spends almost the entire letter to the Galatians talking about the importance of following him in faith and not in the law. Everybody here follow the law? No, seriously, y'all law-abiding citizens? How many stoplights stop signs have we ran so far in the last few days? They put a new four-way stop. We've been driving the same road for 40 years, and all of a sudden they put a four-way stop there, and it's kind of like, we can't do this. It's not right. But I'm sure that I've done it a couple of times, and I'm sure you have too. A couple of years ago, Audi had one of the best commercials there during the Super Bowl, and it poked some fun at the imaginary green police. If y'all know what the green police are, those environmentalists who, trying to make sure that you're recycling everything. Well, they made a commercial, and they kind of poked fun at them about them being out of control. So let's go ahead and watch it.
Okay, so it's 3708, paper plastic.
Plastic. That's the magic word. Green police. You picked the wrong day to mess with the ecosystem, plastic boy.
Strikes tonight where a man has just been arrested for possession of an incandescent light bulb.
What do you guys think about plastic bottles now?
The water setting is at 105.
Now, I won't share my personal opinion about all that, but I can tell you that the green police are pursuing a good thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing that they're doing. They're trying to save the planet, save the environment. But they're not very helpful at all. They're not these well-meaning, overzealous police can cause more harm than good. Not every time you break the law are you going to be punished. Because you know why? Because they ain't got the resources to punish everyone who breaks the law. So they pick and choose which laws to enforce. That's the simple fact, because you cannot and probably should not enforce all the rules, or it would be chaos. Because none of us can... We don't even know all the rules and the laws. And so it is with a lot of good people that I know. They're pursuing a good thing, a life of personal holiness by conforming to the law of God. Now, that sounds good, doesn't it? But what's happening is they're trying to follow the law so much, and they can't do it. Now, they don't realize how harmful trying to follow, being zealous in trying to follow the law can be. And that's not saying there's anything wrong with the law of God. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 makes it very clear that obeying God's law makes life go a whole lot smoother. Psalms 19 says that God's law is perfect and right, and sweeter than honey. God's law is good. But one's well-meaning, overzealous pursuit can do more harm than good. So, what are you supposed to do if not try as hard as you can to live in obedience to God's law? Does that mean we're supposed to stop trying? Well, no. What are you supposed to do to find a life of personal holiness, which you know is good for you? I'm never going to tell you that don't worry about breaking one of God's laws. No, you should worry about it. You should be concerned. What are you supposed to do to enjoy the life God has called you to live without doing more harm than good? We cannot live our lives in joy. We cannot be the Christian example and testimony to the lost and dying world if we're constantly worried about us breaking all the rules and all the laws of God. Do you know why? Because I'd spend all my time worrying about me and not someone else. And so let's look in Galatians 3:15. It says, "Brethren, I speak in the manner of men. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it." God's promises cannot be annulled or amended. Man cannot do that. When God makes a promise, it cannot be changed. He stands forever. Now let's look in verse 16 through 7 through 18. Verse 16 says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." He does not say, "and to seeds, as of many, but as of one." Now the seeds are offspring. "And to your seed," or offspring, "who is Christ." In verse 18. "And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect." In verse 18. "For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise." Now, you might think, that's a little confusing. Well, we're going to break this down. It's going to make perfect sense to you, I hope. Your inheritance in Christ, your salvation, comes through a promise that was given to Abraham, not through a law. And therein lies the secret to living the life God wants you to live without all the struggle. If you want to enjoy life as God intended it, then depend on God's promise and not His law. Live your life not by keeping the rules to earn God's favor, but with the sure and certain knowledge that He already favors you unconditionally. In other words, that He already favors you, that your obedience come not in order to be blessed, but in the realization that God has already blessed you. You are not doing good things and good works just to let God, so that God will bless you. Well, if I get my life together and keep straight, God's going to bless me. No, God has already blessed you. You see, God blesses the believer without conditions. There is absolutely nothing you can do to earn God's favor. So if you're going to enjoy the life God has called you to live, then you simply must depend upon God's unconditional promise. It's not about you and your life. And that's what Abraham did. In Genesis chapter 15, God promised Abraham many descendants and a lot of land. But Abraham wanted a sure sign that God would keep His promise, and God gave him one. God entered into a blood covenant with Abraham, and that's the strongest kind of covenant there is. Now, in Abraham's day, when two people wanted to confirm an agreement they had made, They shed the blood of an animal. They would take a heifer, a goat, a ram, and cut it down the, right down the middle. And then they would set the two halves of the animal opposite each other with a space in the middle. And then they would walk together between the animal halves. In essence, they were saying to each other, may the same thing happen to me if I fail to keep my part of the agreement. Well, God instructed Abraham to prepare a heifer, a goat, and a ram. Not just one animal, but three. You see, God wanted Abraham to know that his promise was going to be absolutely certain. The only problem was, before Abraham had a chance to walk through it, he fell into a deep sleep. Even so, Genesis 15 says, after dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between the pieces. In other words, God himself was walking between the halves and the animals without Abraham, making that a unilateral agreement. In other words, God agreed to bless Abraham without any conditions on Abraham's part. There was nothing Abraham needed to do to receive God's promise and his blessing. It was unilateral, it was unconditional, and it was a covenant between God and himself to give Abraham a tremendous inheritance. And all Abraham had to do was accept it by faith, and that's all you need to do as well. God said, I walked down there, I made my promise, it's done deal. And all Abraham had to do was believe it. And because of the shed blood of God's own son, God blesses you without conditions. And all you need to do is accept his blessings by faith. All you need to do is depend upon his unconditional promise. Not only is it unconditional, but it is unchanging. Promise is God will never go back on his word. He'll never alter it in any way. God will never set aside his promise, even if we fail to keep the law. Let's look at verse 17 again. It says, the law which came 430 years after. Go back to verse, there you go. That the law which was 430 years after this promise. So the law that God gave Moses on the mountain, that law, the promise given to Abraham preceded it by 430 years. The law which came 430 years afterward did not annul the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, and that it should make the promise no effect. So in other words, God made this promise and then he gave the law 430 years later. That promise is still in effect. That promise was not annulled. That promise was not taken away because of the law. The law did not take the place of the promise given to Abraham. It did not make it void. The law had conditional blessings, and it does not in any way cancel out or change the promise. God will never go back on his word. What's the adage? Somebody calls and says, I'm going to give you $1 million. And you'll say, what's the catch? Always, always, always read the fine print. Always. If something's too good to be true, it probably is. There's probably something wrong. There's probably a catch. Whenever you say, we're going to give you a free trip, all expense paid trip, guess what? There ain't no such thing. There's always a catch. Their promise has a catch, always a condition added to it. But that's not so with God's blessings, not with his promised blessings. There is no catch. There are no added conditions. God doesn't promise us an all expense paid trip to heaven and then turn around and say, oh, and by the way, you have to do this and that, have to do this before you can go. You didn't tell me that. You know why? Because it's not true. There is no catch. There are no catches. Ephesians 1 says, God has already has blessed us. That is in the past tense. In other words, He's already blessed us. He's in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. The moment you come to Christ, faith in Christ, God dumps the whole load of heavenly blessings on you. You see, God blesses you up front before you even have to do anything to earn those blessings. The blessings are already ours. We don't have to work in order to get God's blessings. It's not the way it works. Now you live your life not trying to earn those blessings, but in the joy and delight of having received those blessings. There's no longer any pressure to perform. There's only delight in living for someone who accepts you and loves you unconditionally. And that will never change. Do you get it? Nothing that you can do or say will make Him love you less, and nothing that you can do or say will let you make Him love you more. Well, I like Dan better because he's better than Randy. He does a lot better, more things than Randy. And the thing, there's no comparison. He loves us the same. And there's nothing that I can do, there's nothing that the worst person in the world can do to make Him love you less. Or more. So if you want to enjoy life as God intended it, live your life in the unconditional love that God is giving you and the blessings that He's already given you, especially as a child of God. He's blessed you tremendously. And so live your life in His blessings and not in His law. Depend on God's promise. Don't depend on the law. Don't live your life trying to earn God's favor. Don't live thinking you have to be good in order to be blessed. And that's the way of the law. The law says obey and be blessed, disobey and be cursed. The problem is no one could obey, so then everyone was what? Cursed. So don't depend on the law, which can only show you how bad you are. In Galatians 19, the very first part of the verse, Galatians 19, it says, "And it came to pass when the sun went down, it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven," and that's not the right one. It's going to be verse 19. There we go. No. Next one. Says in verse part of verse 3:19, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. In other words, they were living their life under the promise of Abraham, and yet there were so many people that they thought, well, I'm pretty good, you know. And He gave them the law to show them that they weren't good. That they did not, that they still have to believe in the promise, that they have to trust in the promise. And so the law was given to show that they had to do that. And it says, it was added to show how badly that we need a Savior. Paul said in Romans 7:7, "I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, 'Do not covet.'" The law is like a mirror. It reveals the dirt, but you don't wash your face with it. The law shows us how bad we are. Now, during grade school, a guy named John Corkin never learned to read or write, but he caused a lot of trouble and somehow kept getting promoted to the next grade. I don't know how, but he just kept doing it. He got to high school. Mastered new skills. He said, "I started cheating by turning in other people's papers. I dated the valedictorian, and I ran around with college prep kids, and I couldn't read words, but I could read the system, and I could read people." So he received an athletic scholarship to Texas Western College. He cheated his way through that college as well, getting a degree in education of all things, and then he went and taught 17 years in high school. Without being able to read or write. He says, what I did was I created an oral and visual environment. There wasn't the written word in there. I always had two or three teacher's assistants in each class to do board work or read the bulletin. And finally, he left teaching and became a real estate developer. Later in life, he learned to read and write and became an advocate for better educational systems. Those who live by the law are really like a lot like John Corkin. They know they fall short of the standards, so they fake it in order to make it. They learn to read the system. They pretend to be something that they know they're not. And the sad thing is many of them live their entire lives trying to persuade themselves, others, and God that they are good people, when deep down inside they know that they sin and they're sinners. The law has revealed their sin, and they don't know what to do with it. So they pretend that there's no sin in order to be accepted. It is a terrible way to live. But the good news, you don't have to live that way. God loves you, and He blesses you unconditionally so that you can freely admit your sins without fear of losing His blessings and acceptance. Live by the promise. Don't live by the law. The law will just do nothing but create a big hole for you, and you'll never get out of it. The law just shows you how bad you are. The promise is what you need to put your faith in. Don't depend on the law, which can show you how bad you are. But depend on a law. Don't depend on a law which didn't come directly from God. What are you saying? It didn't come directly from God. Well, the last part of Galatians 3:19. 3:19. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. It was appointed by angels through the hand of a mediator. God gave the law to the angels, who gave it to Moses, and who gave it to the people. The law did not come directly from God Himself. It came through mediators. In other words, God didn't hand the law to Him Himself. It said that He gave it through the mediators. Somehow the law coming through a stammering, stuttering prophet like Moses doesn't carry the weight as if it come from God Himself. This is Paul talking, not me. And besides, the presence of a mediator presupposes two parties. Look in verse 20. Verse 20 says, but the Scriptures... No, verse 20. One more. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. In other words, if you're mediating, there's two parties. There was no mediation. This was just with God. The law required a commitment from both sides to make it work. A commitment from God and a commitment from the people. Well, we know that God never fails to keep His part of the deal, but what about us? Are we going to keep our part of the deal? If we're honest, we know that we've already failed to keep our part of the deal. How many of y'all ever made a promise to God and broke it? Yeah. All right. Well, He keeps His part. And that's the law. You stay within the speed limit. You stop at the stop line. You don't get it. You're fine. If you don't stop at it, you get a ticket. That's just the way it goes. That's the law. Two parties. Therefore, the law cannot make us good, because the law is not good, but because we are not good. So don't depend on the law that just shows us how bad you are. Don't depend on a law which came through a mediator, and certainly don't depend on a law which is woefully inadequate. It was just there to show us it. Paul says it's a taskmaster to show us how bad we really are and that we can't keep up. Verse 21. It says, is the law then against the promises of God? Now, hold on a second. Are they at odds with each other? Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. Is there a law that's going to make you a good person, Dan? I'm not even going to go to anyone else. I mean, is there a law that can be passed that'll make you a good person? Or anyone a good person? No. There is no law that can be passed to make you a good person. Certainly not. If there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. The law says obey and live, or disobey and die. Well, since we've all disobeyed, guess what? We're going to die. And therefore, the law is unable to give us life. It only condemns us. But the Scripture, in verse 22, we'll finally get to verse 22. All right. It says, now listen to this. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, bound us, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ, the promise given to Abraham was Jesus Christ, his seed, his offspring, that one who might come might be given to those who do what? Believe. The promise by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the same promise that he was given Abraham. The one he swore, it doesn't matter what you do, if you believe, you can have this promise given to you. The law puts us all on death row. It puts us all in prison so that we might be driven to the promise of life in Christ. When King David committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered her husband to cover up his sin, the law condemned him to die. There were no sacrifices to cover willful sin under the law. And there was only the death penalty. What would David do? What could he do? There was the law. David was supposed to have died. What did he do? He threw himself upon the mercy of God and said, Lord, save me. Lord, restore me. If you want to hear his plea to God, go to Psalms 51. Amazing. There's a 53. I think it's 53. Amazing. He just threw himself on the mercy of God. Bypassed the law by God's mercy. The only thing he could do was depend on God's promise when he had broken God's law. And that's what he did. You see, God gave us the law, not a better life. He gave us the law not to have a better life. But he gave us the law to point the way to the promise of Christ, who can give us a better life. So depend upon Christ. Christ alone that can give you life that you truly want to live. Quit trying to be good and let God give you goodness. Don't depend upon a law which can only condemn you. We've got some Christians who are living some very sad lives right now, because all they're doing is trying to follow the law. They're trying to please God. 1927, the director Cecil D. DeMille, he cast an actor named Hugh B. Warner. In his famous film, The King of Kings. This Warner, who 19 years later played the druggist in A Wonderful Life, he was kept on a short leash during the filming of The King of Kings. Cecil B. DeMille was concerned that the behavior of the actor, deemed inconsistent with the image of Christ, would result in negative publicity for the film. So he says, you're going to have to, while it's out in the theaters, you're going to have to live a life by every rule. because we don't want any negative publicity concerning the one who's playing the role of Christ. So he enforced strict measures to ensure that he kept up a good Jesus image. Both his Warner and his co-star, who played Mary, had to sign agreements that barred them for 5 years from appearing in film roles that might compromise their holy screen images. During the filming, Warner was driven to the set with blinds drawn. He wore a black veil as he was delivered to the set. The meal separated Warner from the other cast members, even forcing him to eat alone every day. Warner couldn't play cards, go to ball games, ride in convertibles, or even go swimming. Unfortunately, the regiment of the rules and the regulations didn't make Warner more holy or more Christ-like. In fact, all the pressure to keep the rules only drove him over the edge, and during the production of King of Kings, he had a relapse into addiction to alcohol. Rules, no matter how restrictive, have no power to restrain evil. On the other hand, the promise of life in Christ has the power to transform you from the inside out. So if you want to enjoy the life God has called you to live, depend on God's promise, not His law. What the law tried to do by a restraining power from without, the gospel does by an inspiring power from within. Depending on Christ to inspire the power of His Holy Spirit within. It's not about the outside, trying to get the outside to do right. It's about making sure the inside is with the one who can make you righteous, can make you holy, and make you good. Don't depend on a wall whose restraining power has never, ever been enough to keep you from sinning. There isn't a law in the books that will keep guns out of criminals' hands. There isn't a law on the books that'll keep someone from killing someone. There isn't a law on the books that keeps someone from stealing from someone. Laws do not do anything but show you that it's bad that you're doing it. But the power within, the promise, can give you the power to keep from doing those things. We'll sum it all up in one phrase. God does not want you to try harder. He wants you to trust Him deeper. Stop trying and start trusting. And this will change everything in you. Some folks just need to let go. Some folks just need to stop trying to please God and trying so hard and failing miserably, and they just need to start trusting Him. It's not hard, but yet it's one of the hardest things to do, is to actually put your heart in your hands and everything in God, your life in God's hands. Would you do that today? Would you give your heart and your life to Christ? Quit trying to be good. Let God make you good. All these things that are plaguing our lives, the things that we're pretending, you know, to be a good person, and those things that are hindering, and we're putting up that front on front of everybody, and hopefully no one will ever see those things. Quit trying and trust God to make you good in this life. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're trying to please God by doing good things, and maybe I can be a good enough person to make it to heaven. Maybe I can follow the Ten Commandments well enough that He'll say, come on in. But that's not the way it works. The way it works is this. Trust and believe in Him. Give Him your heart and your life right now. Stop trying to be good and let Him make you good. As we stand and prepare for an invitation, I do not know your heart and I don't know your life. I do know right now that if you're trying, as a child of God, and you know Christ as your Savior, but you're trying to continually please God by doing this and doing that, you know, whatever it may be in your life, and you're saying, and you come up with the conclusion.
conclusion in time that you're just totally failing, quit. Stop trying. The problem is not you trying, because you're never going to make it. The problem is you're not allowing God to work through you. Paul makes it abundantly clear. It's not about the law, but it's all about his promise. That promise is Jesus' promise. So would you come today and accept Jesus Christ into your heart and your life? Would you come today and you will stop trying to be good, but let God make you good? So as we sing today this invitation, whatever it is you need to do,